Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shape the Trinity League. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
Thanks for joining us this week. We're going to talk with Steve Fryer. He's the lead columnist at the Orange County Register, longtime sports writer over there, and one of the premier voices in prep sports all across Southern California. Later on in the show, on this Saturday, we're going to talk with the head basketball coach out at Orange Lutheran High School, Chris Nordstrom. The Trinity League is all Catholic schools except for one, and there's that one Lutheran school out there, and we're going to give some time to Orange Lutheran High School and their great boys basketball program. To kick off the show this week, we are joined by Steve Fryer, the longtime prep writer with the Orange County Register. Steve, thanks for joining us here on Catholic Sports View.
Good to be with you guys.
Kind of want to start off this show. On this show, we focus on the Trinity League, and the Trinity League gets national headlines, probably worldwide headlines, and you've covered the Trinity as long as anybody has. Kind of give us your take on where the Trinity League stands with the elite around the rest of the country.
Well, heck, I go back to when it was the Angeles League.
Yeah, right.
Bishop Amar was around, and St. Paul, and oh my golly.
And then the Sarah after that, right? Angeles, Sarah,
yeah,
Trinity.
Sarah League, yeah, that's right. It is definitely the premier league around here. I mean, so many great athletes matriculate to those schools. So many great coaches, you know, just at Modern Day alone with Coach Bruce Rollinson with football and Gary McKnight in basketball. And then you got some pretty good younger coaches who've come in to the league in recent times. Zach Brogdon at Jay Sarah, I see that guy coach, and I watched him when he was coaching earlier at Capstone Valley Christian. He seems like a guy that might be coaching college ball one day. You know, he might be one of those guys that's on that fast track. But it is certainly an elite league. The competition is great. It is an amazing league, top to bottom, in a variety of sports, too. Just the other day when we had, a couple weeks ago, we had the signing day, you know, for National Letters of Intent, and I went to the Modern Day activities, which were really good, and they had somebody who signed with an East Coast school, I can't remember which one it was, for crew rowing. I mean, who knew that there was high school rowing and college prospect rowers at Modern Day? So that just tells you sort of the breadth of athletics excellence that is all around the Trinity League.
It's funny, we were talking with Coach Kiernan and Coach McKnight the last couple of weeks here on the show, and I said, I can't think of another school, you mentioned Modern Day, that where the boys' basketball program and the girls' basketball program are among the best, not only in the county and in the state and the nation.
Yeah, once in a while, you'll get a public school that has something like that. Brea's had some, you know, sometimes would double up and the girls and boys' hoops. But
Windward had a year, a couple of teams a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
right, there's been a few.
And Edison at times as well. I'm sure I'm forgetting a couple of public schools out there. But as far as, like, consistent excellence in both boys and girls hoops, yeah, Modern Day is right there. You know, Servite's had some okay basketball teams, too. And gosh darn Rosary, Coach Richard Newsman, a long time. Rosary's had some dynamite teams as well. And Santa Margarita, they had terrific, they won a couple CIF titles in girls hoops. And of course, boys basketball has been fantastic. There's that one kid who came out of there, he's playing at Golden State, named Clay Thompson. He's done okay, I guess. And Jay Sarah's had good girls basketball, too. There's that young lady, her first name was Coco. She was over at Coco Miller, I think, over at Jay Sarah just a couple, three, 4 years ago. She was outstanding. So.
Yeah.
Man, all over the place. It's a great league.
You know, you cover so much more than the Trinity. You cover everything across Orange County.
According to my readership, I only cover the Trinity League. That's all they think I cover, man, I'll tell you. Hey, it's not my fault they're so good.
Yeah,
not my fault.
Good point, right? I mean, that's why we cover them, because so many great athletes go there.
Yeah, I didn't tell Bowl to transfer to Modern Day.
We'll get to Bowl in a minute, because I want to talk about some of the high-profile transfers that come into the schools. But I kind of wanted to ask you, because you cover a lot of other leagues, too, a lot of the public school leagues. Has the advent of the Trinity League, has that been good for local sports, or, has it been not so good?
You know, I think it's a mixed bag, and that's a great question, Bob. As far as the good of it goes, yeah, we see some great games and some great teams and some high-profile games. And for guys like you and me, covering big games is a total gas. And the Trinity League gives you a lot of great games, a lot of big games.
Oh, yeah.
High-profile games. Those are the fun games. But as far as, like, the bad thing goes, I think sometimes kids don't go to they'll leave their local public school thinking, well, I get a scholarship, I got to go to one of the Trinity League schools, one of the high-visibility schools. which is a total misnomer because those college coaches, their livelihood depends on them getting the best athletes and all that. If you're good, they're going to find it. I'll give you my favorite example of that is Eastside Christian in Fullerton, which is not even there anymore, I don't think. Eastside Christian had a football player some years ago named O'Neal Cousins, and he went to UTEP on a college on a full ride. He was an offensive lineman. They were playing eight-man football, that hybrid version of football,
right,
that some of the little schools play. He had about eight-year NFL career as an offensive lineman. So if a guy from Eastside Christian playing eight-man football can have a pretty nice, long NFL career, that just tells you, you don't need to go to the high-visibility schools to get attracted by the college and eventually make a pretty decent pro career for yourself.
Does it help, though? Does it help? Because we see kids come from Temecula, and kids that will drive 2 hours to go to Mater Dei or Santa Margarita. I mean, there obviously has to be some pull to kids to want to get into a Trinity League program.
The pull is from the parents who are slightly deranged. they believe that, you know, obviously the price of college has gone up a heck of a lot since I was a lad. The battle for the scholarship is huge. And then there's also parents that think, my son's going to this school. You in the next cubicle, what's your son doing? What's the school he at?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that going on, which is not really good. So like I said, it's a mixed bag. I think there's a lot of good to it. Some kids probably get a little bit more notice. But I think, Rex Pfluger, who was at Modern Day a couple years ago, now at Notre Dame, he was county player of the year in boys basketball. Rex Pfluger averaged about 17, 18 points a game at Modern Day. Now, if he played somewhere else in a public school, he's probably averaging 20-something points a game and getting noticed. Now, would he develop his game as well as he did? Maybe not, because when you're playing at a Modern Day or whatever sport and you're playing against the best competition, the better the competition you play, the better it makes you.
Steve Fryer for the Orange County Register, OCVarsity.com, joining us here on Catholic Sports View. You brought up the name Bol Bol, and he transferred into Mater Dei. Oh, it's got to be a little more than a month ago, I suppose. And he got eligible, 3 weeks ago or so, give or take. So he's got some time under his belt. How does a kid like Bol Bol, who starts out in the state of Kansas, how in the heck does he end up at Mater Dei High School this season?
If you're, and I'll kind of tell it this way, if you're the dad of a 6'7" seventh grader, and he's a really good basketball player, you've heard of Modern Day.
Yeah.
And Modern Day's got it, like you said in the intro, has a national profile. People know what's going on. The internet especially has helped that explode. Everybody knows how good Modern Day is. I mean, Gary McKnight is the, percentage-wise, is the winningest coach of all time. Hall of Fame this, Hall of Fame that. Guys know what's going on. They know where the great teams are. They see the Nike extravaganza being broadcast. They see these teams. They look at the USA Today national rankings and whatever else is out there in terms of national rankings. And they know where everybody's at. So that's how a guy like Bol Bol winds up at Modern Day. And that's why so many kids wind up at the Trinity League schools.
You mentioned J. Sarah is what probably the newer school, I guess, in the league. A school that, by all rights, the baseball program's done very well. We talked about girls basketball. They have a lot of good sports programs there, but the high-profile ones, the boys basketball, and certainly the football program, they've done better recently, but they're going to struggle year in and year out against Bosco and against Modern Day, and even when Servite's got a good team in Santa Margarita. Is it fair to take a school like that and make them play in the Trinity League, year in and year out, and know that, hey, you're going to be lucky to get a couple of wins if that?
Well, there's no other league that'll have them.
Yeah.
If years ago when J. Sarah, decided to change to get into a league, they played a freelance schedule for all, decided to get into a league, and they thought, well, we'll just go to the Pacific Coast League or the CBU League and kind of, work our way up until we're ready for the Trinity League. But those schools have a lot of, maybe animosity is a strong word, but it's one that comes into my mind, toward the Catholic schools, toward the private schools, the Orange Lutherans and Modern Days and all that. They don't want a J. Sarah in their league. Korean Lutheran right now, coming up here in a couple of years, they're going to go into a league. They're going to leave the Academy League, and they're going to go into a league. And they're kind of thinking, wow, it'd be cool to go to the Coast League, with some of these Irvine schools that, that we play against. And those schools aren't going to allow Korean Lutheran to be in their league. There's no way. The Korean Lutheran might wind up in the Trinity League, of all things. They're not, basketball-wise, they kind of hang out. Baseball, they're okay. Football, they're not even close. They're not even close to being ready to step into that thing. So that's kind of like what J. Sarah was a few years ago. They were sort of in that boat as well, trying to figure out which league they're going. But there's no way that the private schools are going to ever be in mixed up in public schools. A lot of people think, and I can see a lot of validity to this, is that the private schools should be in their own playoff division as well. because they have so many advantages in terms of athletics and fundraising and so many other things that some people say there's no way that public schools and private schools should be in the same playoff division. Definitely not in the same league.
How much of a chance for reality is that to happening? Is there a buzz? Or is there a groundswell starting to rise up to kind of move in that direction?
Yeah, there is. But I don't know if it would stand a legal challenge. And that stuff is way over my head. I don't know if there's some equal access laws and rules and stuff like that that would prohibit those schools from being in separate playoff divisions.
Steve Fryer joining us from the Orange County Register, OCVarsity.com, the lead columnist at OC Varsity. It's certainly an interesting league. It's mostly comprised of Catholic schools. There is one Lutheran school in there right now in Orange Lutheran,
right.
and one outlier school in Bosco, which is the only LA County school. We talked with Coach Jason Negro a couple weeks back. He kind of talked about the travel restrictions of teams that have, you know, Jay Sarah having to travel to Bosco and back and forth. I mean, you talk about hours on the freeway, you know, putting kids back and forth. I mean, I guess there's no perfect solution to trying to find places to put all these Trinity League schools to make everybody happy. Bosco's a little bit of an outlier. Orange Lutheran, with their small enrollment, is a little bit of an outlier. I'm sure you've swirled around in your head enough times in your column. Is there a way to make everybody happy, or is this not possible?
No possible way. We're going through a relieving process that's just getting started, and not, you know, there's going to be some movement around. It's going to be interesting to see who goes where and all that stuff.
Certainly will be.
Yeah, and perhaps, you know, we'll see the Korean Lutheran become a Trinity League team. But yeah, it's impossible to make everybody happy. You know, we're just talking about Bosco and the travel and stuff like that. The worst thing about it is the lower level. So the lower level teams, they play, and baseball teams, and you're playing games at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, things like that. That is really hard for lower level kids. You know, you're leaving school at what time? How much class time are you missing to travel to Bellflower from San Juan Capistrano down to Bellflower or the other way around?
That's a great
point. That's
what the problem is. Yeah, no, it's really true. A quick break here on Catholic Sports View, and we're going to have more with Steve Fryer when we come back. Stay with us. Welcome back to Catholic Sports View. We're joined by Steve Fryer, the lead columnist with the Orange County Register, OCVarsity.com, and longtime voice of prep sports in the Orange County area. Steve, kind of wanted to talk to you in this segment about your career and how you got your start covering local sports. What was the young Steve Fryer like starting out as a young sports writer?
Well, I got into, you know, I played some baseball and a lot of basketball as a youth, but I knew I wasn't going to be able to make a living at it because I was missing two things, talent and physique. Other than that, I was really good.
Like most of us.
I was just missing those two things. And so, you know, I like sports. I like writing. I like reading. I mean, I used to go to Angels games and when I was a kid with my dad and, you know, I'd go to the games and sometimes I'd go home and I'd write my own account of it, like I'd covered the game. So that's kind of how I got into it. I wanted to stay in sports some way and this seemed like a fun way to do it.
Obviously, growing up in Southern California, not only did we have Vin Scully and Chick Hearn, but you know we had all the great sports writers, Jim Murray, all the great people from around the local area. It must have been easy to aspire to it when you had so much good talent around you accessible as a young journalist.
Hey, I was blessed to have some great mentors, and no matter what your field is that you choose to go in, if you're fortunate, you have good mentors and. We had a bunch of them when I was a kid coming up from the register. We had John Hall, Steve Bishop, so many great people, editors that took me under their wing, a sports editor, the guy who hired me, Jim Colonna. He was awesome to me. I really had a great upbringing. I went to college at Cal State Fullerton, had a couple good professors there that helped me out too and that believed in me. Yeah, and so I was just, you know, really, I was in the right place at the right time in a lot of ways. And I had people who believed in me, and I had good parental support, that's for sure. And, you know, I've got good support at the home now with the wife and kids. And so it's been a good thing. I've been really fortunate to have the career that I have.
Did you choose high school sports? Was that an area that you had an interest in and wanted to pursue as a writer? Or did you just did it kind of find you?
Well, interestingly enough, I was doing a different in the 1980s. I was doing a different job at the Register when I first got full time. I was doing a sports TV radio column about what's going on in the sports TV radio world, and I was also editor of the evening edition of the paper. We had two editions back in those days. Well, I did such a good job they got rid of the evening edition, I guess. Because, but you know, a lot of papers were kind of starting to slow down, starting to shrink some. And so the boss says, hey, we got to find you something to do. We're getting rid of the evening edition. I go, well, why don't you make me the third full-time longtime sports writer, found high schools to go with Dave Oshkin and Randy Franz. He goes, well, guess what? Randy wants to leave high school. He's going to go cover Cal State football. Why don't you start doing that? So I said, sure. And that was fall of 1999. I've kept at it ever since. It's a fun job. And right now in our business, you can read about the Clippers, the Lakers, the Angels at Yahoo Sports, ESPN, Sports, you know, all sorts of places on the web. But if it's Survivor versus Modern Day, I'm it. You know, I'm the thing. And so local content is king in our business, and I'm the king of local content. So I got a good thing going.
Yeah, it's so very true. Steve Fryer joining us here from the Orange County Register, OCVarsity.com. You lead me right into my next question, which, you know, it's no secret the newspaper industry, the newspaper business has been changing a whole lot over the past several years. Certainly been felt over at the Register. But, you know, the one area that hasn't suffered at all or hasn't had anything really change about it is the prep sports coverage. People still say, hey, I want to read about my high school sports. I want to know what my local kids are doing around the area, and you know, so it seems like prep sports, you know, is as strong as ever.
Yeah, you know, we've even had to reduce some of that, you know, just because we're not making as much money as we used to in our business. I mean, Bob, I think maybe I go into a growth business, you know, and get out of this one. I go into telephone booth repair. I think there's a big growth in telephone booth repair. So I think I'm gonna stick with this. But yeah, I think we give people, you know, that level of coverage, and we still do it pretty deeply, even though we've sort of had to cut back some, just the nature of my business. But we try like heck to cover everything, you know, not just Trinity League, but Garden Grove League. I covered a Garden Grove League, both the Grande game. I went to Korean Lutheran St. Margaret's game. I went to, what did I do last week? Tustin Cypress. So I try to get around as much as I can and shine the spotlight all over the place, because there's a lot of great things going on in Orange County Athletics, not just the Trinity League, which is outstanding. I love my Trinity League basketball and football and baseball, but, you know, getting out and covering some of those other things is really fun.
I agree with you. It's almost like you can sit here on the Trinity League and you can pick the low-hanging fruit all day long in the Trinity, but it really is fun to get out to some of these other leagues and find some of these kids with great stories to tell and great athletes, you know, all across Orange County. This Orange County area, I mean, we got Heisman Trophy winners coming out of here, National Players of the Year. I mean, there's no shortage of talent up and down the board, male, female, you name the sport here in Orange County.
Hey, I think in the last Summer Olympics, which were in, what, Sydney?
I think
Orange County would have been like 14th if it was a nation in the medal stable.
Wow.
Pretty wild.
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, right. I mean, you think about, you know, so many of the great players that you've covered over the years. Are there a few that stand out?
Sheesh, you know, I've covered so many great people.
Like, I know. I put you on the spot here. There's so many of them.
You know, Stanley Johnson was an absolute blast to cover in modern day as a basketball guy. Deshaun Foster, when he was at Tustin, was unbelievable. Carson Palmer was something special. We had a great slew of quarterbacks just come through here. You know, you've got, of course, Daniels over at Modern Day, who just finished his sophomore year, record-breaking year. Chase Garbers at Corona Del Mar, I think, is going to be an outstanding quarterback at Cal. Matt McDonald, you know, I think he's going to be really good, too. We got a Mission Viejo, but you know, there are so many great people all, you know, left, right, and sideways. It's an amazing group of athletics we have here. You know, we got the weather so people can work out year round. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of coaches. And I think the whole environment of competition, everybody's trying to outdo each other. I think that creates this atmosphere where the young people are getting the best training, the best competition. I think that's making everything better.
Steve Fryer with the Orange County Register joining us here on Catholic Sports View this week. As you look around and you know, you've covered so many years of athletics here across Orange County, do you still get the same feeling at the start of every school year? It's a new year. It's a new batch of athletes. It's a new chance to tell some more stories, some different stories.
Yeah, you know, it's always fun. It's always fresh, and that's the fun thing about it. I mean, I love going into a gym. You know, I'm looking forward to this week, the playoffs coming up, basketball. I love going into a gym, and it's loud, and the kids are going crazy, and the student sections now are really become a big thing. You know, kids love going to their high school basketball games now, and got some very creative student sections all over the place. You know, the Asylum at Servite, the Eagle's Nest at Santa Margarita, you know, just so many cool ones all over the place. Even the little schools got them going on. St. Margaret's has got the kitchen, they call their student section. So it's always a great buzz doing this. And, you know, every team and every school, there's some athlete there who's got a great story. He may be overcoming some injuries. He may be doing something really cool outside of school. Maybe he's a great musician. Maybe he's a great artist. Maybe this person's big time involved in community projects. Every team at every school has something going on that's really worth knowing about.
Is it more fun to cover an individual player, or is it more fun to cover a team and what a team is achieving?
A little of both. Depends. Yeah. You know, it's a kind of sort of case by case.
Closing moments here with Steve Fryer with the Orange County Register. You certainly had a chance to cover the Angels and a lot of other pro and college sports over your career. I've heard other reporters say, "Hey, I'd rather talk to a kid, than a big time professional." Do you prefer one side or the other?
Sometimes the pros can be jerks, and sometimes you get that with the kids. But the good thing about the pros is that they're mature and they know how to talk. Whereas if you interview a high school kid, it's if I had a dollar for every time some kid told me, "Oh yeah, we've stepped up," if I had a dollar for every time somebody said that, I'd be able to buy Catalina Island. I tell you, every kid says that. So sometimes interviewing the high school kids is fun. It's refreshing. Sometimes they're nervous as heck, and they're just not eloquent because he's 17 years old. What does he know?
Right.
So you got to deal with that, Tom.
Never a dull moment covering prep sports across Orange County and Southern California. Steve, we want to thank you for taking time and joining us here at Catholic Sports View. And we'll catch up with you because we run into each other all the time out at so many sporting events. So we'll see you soon.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
All right. Thanks, Steve. That's Steve Fryer with the Orange County Register. Of course, you can catch all his columns on OCVarsity.com. They do a great job of covering all the high school sports across Southern California and especially right here in Orange County. We'll take another break. When we come back, we're going to talk with the head basketball coach out at Orange Lutheran High School. Don't forget, there is a Lutheran High School in the Trinity League, and we're going to visit with them when we come back. Stay with us here on Catholic Sports View.
Hello, this is Jim Hooper, 2016 nominee for St. Joseph Radio Man of the Year. I'm excited to let you know that the 2017 Man of the Year dinner is coming up on March 18th. The deadline for submission is March 1st, and it's an encouragement to all Catholic men and Catholics in general to get active and get involved. While all men there were shy about standing out, we all walked away with a renewed sense of excitement about serving the Lord. So please don't hesitate to nominate an outstanding man from your parish or organization. The deadline again is March 1st. For more information, call Sheila at 714-402-6347 or go to the website
www.occatholicman.org. That's occatholicman.org.
Thanks, and we hope to see you at the dinner. God bless.
Need an idea for summer vacation? Why not join Bishop Kevin Vann and Bishop Tim Fryer for a first-of-its-kind Catholic cruise from Long Beach to Ensenada, Mexico. You'll be entertained by acclaimed musician Francis Cabildo, music ministry director at Santa Margarita High School, and director of Christ Cathedral Music Ministries, Dr. John Romeri. You'll also have the blessed opportunity to celebrate Mass at the Cathedral in Ensenada. It's all happening July 21st to the 24th. For info, call Travel of Orange, 877-538-0010, occatholic.com/travel.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gem of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102, 714-489-6102.
Thank you for joining us this week. We're out at Orange Lutheran High School, one of the other teams in the Trinity League. You know, we focus so much on the Catholic schools, of course, in the Trinity League here on Catholic Sports View, but we have to remember there is one Lutheran school here in the Trinity, and that is Lutheran High School in the city of Orange. And we're talking with their head basketball coach out here this week, and that's Chris Nordstrom. Coach, thanks for joining us, first of all.
Yeah, no problem. Good to have you.
We want to talk about your career, and then we'll get into a little bit about the program here, and then the future of Orange Lutheran, which looks really bright watching your team here the past couple of weeks. But let's start out with you, first of all, and, you know, your introduction to basketball, I guess, as a youngster. How did you kind of get your nose into the game of basketball?
Well, I was a three-sport guy in high school. I went to high school in Central Oregon, and there were no private schools. So everyone, you know, it was just public school is the only choice, and that's what I'd always done when I, you know, was a kid. But I played soccer in the fall. Oregon soccer's a fall sport, which was cool because it got too cold in the winter. And then basketball and actually tennis. I don't know. It's kind of random. But and high school basketball for me, honestly, it was probably my worst of the three sports that I played. I was probably my best was soccer. But I always loved it. And I think as a kid, as a player, I always felt like I was the only reason I ever got to play was because I understood how to play, you know, and I wasn't athletic enough. I wasn't tall enough. But I found a way just because I think I did a lot of stuff right, if that makes sense. I'm sure coaches felt fairly confident in that. Whether they thought I could shoot or dribble, I don't know. But I could get to the right spots and do the right thing. So basketball was a sport I always loved. I love kind of the crowd part of it. I don't know that I would have played in high school if it wasn't for the fans. And we had huge fan support, real small town. So everyone came to the game and that kind of thing. So that was really cool. And then I went to college at UC Irvine. And at the time, Bill Mulligan, Brian Mulligan, right, who's at Capitol Valley, is the head coach at Irvine. And a couple of us went and did a walk-on thing. And I always give McKnight a hard time about this, but ironically, we were probably the best two guys at the tryouts. I actually grew about 3 inches between my senior year of high school and freshman year of college. Anyways, I got to be a lot better as a player. Anyways, we probably should have been the walk-ons, but they actually gave it to a modern day kid as a favor to Gary, I think, which now recruiting, I totally understand. But at the time, I was pretty angry. And actually, I met a number of people that I still have contact with on that walk-on spot. So A. Topu to Emma, who is a lifelong friend. I mean, we live next door in the dorms, and he runs the Compton Magic AAU team. Anyways, that's where a lot of those relationships started. Yeah. And then, anyway, so then I just coach. I was coached my wife's sorority team. I played all through college, had great intramural. I mean, it was awesome to play in college. And so that was where that went. And then ultimately, I got done with school and I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I actually went to work at Farmers Insurance, random and property claims. I was going out to people's houses if they burned down. It was a really bizarre job, but it paid well out of school. And I met a guy named Phil Bellamo. Phil had been Gary McKnight's lead assistant for a number of years, a great basketball mind. Worked for the Lakers. Anyways, and Phil and I actually trained him at Farmers, and then we started talking. He's like, hey, if you're interested in coaching, I can hook you up with Coach McKnight. And so I went in to meet with Gary, and loosely an interview, I guess. It was more of just a meeting, and Gary's like, hey, I need a JV coach or help an assistant, and there you go. And that was 23 years ago, about now, honestly. It was right after the basketball season, 23 years ago. And coached JV a year. With Burt Call, the current baseball coach.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I did sophomore team for 1 year, and then I coached the freshman for a number. And Gary, it was really nice, because Gary always asked me, I think I earned respect pretty fast, but he always asked me, what level would you want? As lower level, I always asked for freshmen. Felt like they were the most excited to play. Yeah. They were the most fun to coach. So coached freshman basketball for 4 years, I think, 3-4, and then eventually went up to the varsity for 3, and then was associate head coach for the last 2. So that was kind of my pathway into high school basketball in Orange County. And Coach McKnight and I think I earned my keep. I wasn't a modern-day grad. I had no connection to the school. So I really had to kind of earn my way in, and, you know, from a trust perspective and all that. And I feel like I did that. And I got to work around a lot of really bright guys, Dave Taylor and certainly Phil Bell and all I already mentioned. But those guys really taught me basketball, Jason Quinn.
Yeah.
So I feel very lucky that I was able to sort of observe and learn just and glean things from all these extremely intelligent basketball coaches. And then from Gary, you know, he kind of took me in later in my career. We did a lot of administrative tasks and things of that nature, which was really cool, because then I got to learn, you know, how do you schedule and how do you manage everything from parents to administration to, you know, there's a lot of logistics that goes into this that people don't even have any idea.
Sure.
And Gary is a master in those areas. And that really helped me from an organization perspective. And
I mean, you couldn't have handpicked a better situation than going to learn, number one, under, you know, one of the best head coaches in the nation, Gary McKnight, and one of the better programs. What a training ground for a young coach. And at what point did you think, hey, maybe I want to take my own team, you know, at some point? And obviously it wasn't going to be at modern day.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting. Like, I was not looking for this job. I mean, I was teaching in modern day. I'd actually changed. My career was going well. I mean, at one point when I was coaching freshman basketball, they'd expressed some interest in me switching over to run the girls. I gave some serious thought to that. I really, at the time, I was really embedded at modern day, and I felt really good about it. My family, you know, my oldest son really enjoyed being on campus and all those pieces that go, like, sure, a lot like here, frankly. And so the girls' job had come up. I'd gotten one other head coaching offer at a school in Anaheim, Savannah High School. And at that time, they didn't have a teaching position for me. So it was kind of risky. And I wasn't sure if I really, you know, so there was a couple offers that came up. But I really didn't have any intention to leave. And when Orange Lutheran opened, frankly, I didn't even really think of it. And Gary came to me. He's like, Chris, I think this is the second best job in Orange County after his, of course. but he goes, I really do think it would be, if you want to be a head coach, that's the kind of place you want to go. And so Gary was the one that really kind of pushed me towards even applying here. Because again, I had a great job there. I had a ton of responsibility on his staff, but I did think I wanted to be a head coach, and I think when this opened up and I really started looking into it, I think, you know, Orange Lutheran felt like a really good fit.
Yeah. Visiting with Chris Nordstrom, the boys basketball coach at Orange Lutheran High School, you mentioned, you know, taking this job here. What were the things that attracted you to the school, to the job, and what did the program look like when you took it over?
Yeah, you know, they were good. It wasn't like I was walking into a team that wasn't very talented. Coach before me, Sean Cassidy, had done he's really good, very, very different coach than me. They played a really slow tempo. They were kind of a grind it team, and they were but exceptionally good at it. They had a ton of success. So I knew I was walking to a program that, you know, they won 20 games the year before I got here. So it wasn't like, you know, I was rebuilding.
Right.
I think the things that were really enticing to me, I certainly have enjoyed working in the private school model. The other thing is the school, Orange Lutheran, is about the same size as my high school. It's about 1,200. And the family feel, you know, this small town in Oregon, that high school felt very similar to the environment at Orange Lutheran. When I came onto campus, the way the teachers interacted, the kids kind of knew each other. One of the things I really love about our school is that our kids do multiple things, right? I've had basketball players who've been in the band. I've had basketball players who've been leads in the school play. I've had kids who are in our STEM program, right? You're not just one thing or labeled into that. You can do these multiple activities and certainly multi-sport athletes, but the environment felt very similar to what I had grown up in. And then ultimately for me, and I think, you know, from a Christian perspective, for me personally, I'm not Catholic. My family's Italian, so there's, you know, we'd go to Catholic Mass sometimes when I went with my grandma, but for the most part, we had attended Christian churches. But being here has really changed that for me, right? My faith development, I have since gone through and become Lutheran and gone through that process. But it was more close to our family's faith alignment, and I think it really, frankly, and I've said this a number of times, I say this to our coaches all the time, I feel like that part of Orange Lutheran has given more to me than I could ever give to it. You know, it is really changed our family and our dynamics of our faith development and my faith life. And so it's been a really cool, for me, it's helped, you know, myself grow, which is awesome.
How important is that for you in the teaching aspect? As I visited all the Catholic schools, right, that's a big component within the Catholic schools, you know, the Catholic fellowship, the feeling of you know, having that common bond. Is that a big thing that you stress within the program?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we start there. So everything on our campus, we are starting with our mission. Our mission is to help students understand the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Yeah. We are starting there first. Any decision made is starting from there. And I can say that wholeheartedly, that in my 13 years at the school, every decision starts there. And so for me, what's happened is that, and I had to learn this a little bit, right? Because, you know, that's a tough question to ask sometimes in sports, right? You can have conflicts with that. At times you want to like, well, maybe, but that gets you in trouble. You want to start there. So like with my staff, right? If I have a coach who wants to come in and help us, if that's their principle too, if they're starting from, hey, I'm a Christian, I'd love to share that with players, their basketball IQ or their basketball ability kind of doesn't matter. We can teach them the basketball. Right. That faith component and being able to share that with young men, man, that's a hard thing to find. And so I'm starting there with my staff. And I think what I found is, and honestly, you know, as I look back over some of our successes, you know, these open division runs last couple of years, the CF championships, I don't know that we've always had the best players. I mean, great kids, great players, no question about it. I've been very lucky. But I think a lot of it is the fact that we spend so much time on character development and all those things. I mean, that is a huge part of what we do. And I'm sure the other schools in our league do too. But it's so critical to us. I think when we've been in big moments, we've been a little better than other teams because of that character. You know, so that is a driving force behind what we do in our program. No question about it.
I agree. I think it stands out here in my interactions over the years at the school, just personally, meeting someone like a Gabe York. I mean, everything was, yes, sir, very nice to meet you, very polite, very Grant Jarrett, same way.
Right.
You know, these are kids that have gone on to, you know, big-time college careers, even in the NBA. You know, some of these kids, and that basis, you know, starts right here at Orange Lutheran.
Yeah, and I think, like, you know, and I've been using this example a lot lately, but I think it's worth it. Peyton Banks and Gabe to some extent, too, because Gabe, you know, he didn't walk in and start playing. And that's weird for a kid like Gabe, you know, who had been so heavily recruited, for him to have to wait a little bit of time and go through some adversity. You know, a lot of kids may have left, and Gabe didn't. But Peyton Banks, who, you know, you may be familiar with,
sure,
played with us.
I remember Peyton.
You know, he went to Penn State, and he got there, and, you know, frankly, he wasn't ready to play college basketball yet. Academically, he probably wasn't ready for that environment yet. Nothing that, not just from where he started here, but his preparation, his character showed. He redshirted his freshman year. He played limited minutes as a redshirt sophomore a little bit more. But at the end of his redshirt sophomore season, he won the school award. It's called the Phoenix Award for a player of character that dealt with adversity. I would hope, I don't know that it's true, but I would hope that some of that's the foundation that was built here, you know, and that some of the things he dealt with. I always talk about Peyton, too. When he got to campus, you know, he always asked the kids for the media guide, hey, what's your home church? Well, he wrote Orange Lutheran because he'd never been, right? He didn't have any kind of Christian background. And we do a senior team dinner every year, and typically a senior leads our prayer that night or maybe leads our devotion. Peyton comes to me before and says, Coach, I want to do it. Now that's what we're about, right? When that's the answer, whatever his successes were, and they were many.
Yeah.
You know, he was a great player. But those kind of things are where, you know, we can kind of hang our hat as a program, as you know, when Peyton's making, you know, asking me to lead prayer and devotion on a senior night dinner. Of course, Peyton, yes, I would love that. And of course, Nordstrom's crying through the whole thing.
Right.
But it was pretty awesome.
We're going to take a break here on Catholic Sports Today. And when we come back, we'll continue our visit out here at Orange Lutheran High School with the head basketball coach, Chris Nordstrom. Stay with us. Welcome back to Catholic Sports View here on Immaculate Heart Radio, and we continue our visit with Chris Nordstrom. He's a head boys basketball coach out at Orange Lutheran High School, and we'll talk about the Trinity League in just a second. It's such a unique league, but I want to talk about the successes that you've had over the years here and some of the big games. You know, I got to cover a lot of the big games out here. You know, the one that comes to mind right away is the win over Laverne Lutheran in the CIF playoffs a couple years back.
We played them in the state tournament one year, and they got us.
Well, of course, I wanted to bring up the win over Mater Dei, and I'm sure maybe other coaches come up to you and maybe want to pick your brain. Hey, what's the secret, right? Because you're the one that got them here in the building here at Orange Lutheran. I got to call a game,
unfortunately.
One of the thrills for me to be able to see that happen, because it never happens. Mater Dei doesn't lose in league. What was the secret that night? And obviously, it's got to still be a fresh memory for you.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I think one of the things that sometimes my team struggle with is because I work there, and because Coach McKnight and I are still friends, that game doesn't freak me out. And I think sometimes our kids almost want me to have a little bit different vibe or energy. So I have to kind of sell that to them. Like, guys, I don't care that it's Mater Dei. I just want to go beat it. Like, I don't think about it that way. And I know our kids, it's hard not to, right? That MD means something when you walk into a game, no question. So I think for whatever reason, there have been a few teams of ours that have really just sort of stepped up and competed on those nights against them. I think we've had our games where they've blown us out. But we've had games, you know, several that have been less than 10. And I think in those nights, what's happened is we've just competed. We haven't worried about who we're playing against. And that particular night, I don't even think, I mean, to be frank, I don't know that it was our best game that season. We were good, and they were too. We were very talented. We certainly had really good guards because we had James Douglas, Gabe York, and Peyton Banks all at the same time, which is going to make anybody. I'm a great coach with that backcourt. But I think in that particular night, we really matched them physically, and we set the tone early physically, and I think that went a long ways. And then it's a great basketball game. You called it, but it's just a great high school basketball game. And as much as Gary hates to lose, and you know that he hates to lose, you know, weeks later when he talked to me again after that, he talked about how great a game it was. You know, which is a pretty cool thing, right? And also in that year, I believe the two of us won back-to-back CF championships on the same night in the same session in front of full crowds, which was really cool too, right? Like, hey, look, we competed as hard as we could. We split during the season, and then here we go back-to-back as a league in 1A and 1AA. That was a really cool – that was kind of fun as well to kind of be able to – especially because, again, I hate playing against Gary only because we're friends. Not because I don't mind playing Mater Dei, but we're still friends and – you know, it's still that, it's a little uncomfortable, right? I work, anyway, so it's this weird dynamic, but it's fun to beat him. I know that.
Does it mean more because it's Coach McKnight, because you learned under his wing and you came out from that program?
Yeah, I think any coach that's really, really good, right? And certainly Gary's the best, as you know, but ultimately he's going to probably go down as best high school coach ever. But certainly in the argument right now, if you look at the losses, that's the crazy part. It's not the wins, it's the losses. Is that, you know, anytime you can beat a coach like that, but when you have a chance to beat a mentor and stuff, you know, of course, right, that's going to feel good, I guess, and certainly holds a special place. But playing against any, you know, we played this guy out in last summer or last year in Arizona at the coach at Mountain View High School. Yeah, 700 wins.
Wow.
Well, that's a nice win, you know, when we beat them, right? Because, look, if you've won 700 basketball games, I don't care what players you have, you're doing a good job. And so we've had a couple games like that where, you know, you, as a coach, you're like, man, I'm going against a legend. I hope we can at least stay in it, you know, and then to get a win in those games always feels really good.
Visiting with Chris Nordstrom out here at Orange Lutheran High School, the boys basketball coach this week on Catholic Sports View. What are the keys to not only building a program, which you've done here, but to keep it at the top? You mentioned, we'll talk about more about the Trinity League, but it kind of leads us into it now. You know, St. John Bosco, that program has really flourished. And Santa Margarita's come back now in the past couple of years. That's another program starting to rise up again. How tough is it to get the talent into the program and keep this program at that high level?
It's really tough. I mean, I think probably the biggest thing is you've got to have the right foundation. This kind of gets back to me with lower level coaches or the guys that are working with our varsity guys. You've got to have the right staff. If those parts are in place and you are dedicated to developing your players and maximizing what they do, then I think you're going to get what you can out of them every year. You know, some years you're going to be more talented than others. Some years you're going to be a little younger than others, what have you. But if you kind of just can kind of stay the course, if you have a clear-cut plan, a mission in place, I think some of the things that really help us here, aside from that character development, we are very lucky that I have a strength and conditioning coach on campus that's assigned to our program. He has other sports that he works with, but he works with boys basketball, Joe Morales, and he sits down with me every year. Hey, coach, what do you want? How do you want this to look? What do you need your kids to do? And we do it all, nutrition, the amount of time they should be spending in the weight room, how they're lifting, the body mechanics, the stretching, everything is all, you know. So some of those things I think are really helping us as we're trying to develop our kids. In the Trinity League, I think we have the fewest boys of any school.
You know, you're at 1,200 at the school,
yeah, so we're looking at 600 boys. I mean, right. I think Servite has 800 or 900. You know, so if you start comparing it that way, yeah, we are starting from behind a little bit just from the sheer number of kids. We certainly have a lot more dual sport athletes than a lot of the other schools, which I love. I think it's great. And I think that those kind of things, we have to just maximize what we're getting out of our kids. And so that's a challenge. And I think trying to find a way to be steady, you know, as best you can, right? We work very hard to build relationships with our kids. There's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be struggles. Just kind of stay on the course, being as steady as you can, and try not to get too emotional one way or the other, I think has helped us.
How important, too, is it, you know, school-wide? The football program has obviously had its high moments. The baseball program has certainly done very well over the years. You know, how important is it to have that good feeling all around the entire, you know, athletic program, that there's a lot of success that breeds through and to build upon?
Yeah, and I think that kind of stems back to what we were talking about earlier. It's not just athletics. I mean, if you go to a theater production on our campus, I mean, it's like, it's really, really good. You know, and so what happens is I think it's really okay for kids to be good at stuff here, yeah. You know, and they're supported and their classmates support them. And one of the things that it can be frustrating at times is our basketball coach is that, you know, on our weekday games, we don't get a big crowd that often. And part of it is because I think our kids are working hard in the classroom or they're doing their other activities. And that's a cool thing, but it affects our crowd. but I love that that's part of our campus, right? We, all our teachers, our staff, everyone is working towards really helping these kids maximize what they have, their God-given abilities. And so, you know, I think you're right. It definitely is a culture that our school has, right? We want to do the best we can. But we're not going to sacrifice that mission. No matter what, we're going to do everything we can, but we're going to do it the right way, and we're going to do it with character, and we're going to put that mission first, right? This is why we're here, and so we're starting there.
Talk about some changes maybe in the Trinity League in the next couple of years, maybe an adding of a team or something like that. Do you welcome? Do you think, obviously the Trinity is strong enough on its own, do you think there's room to add more teams to this league? And what would you tell a coach that's going to come in and try to climb that mountain?
Yeah, you know, I know there's some conversation with Crean right now. Right. And so one of the things that crosses my mind on that is, and this is nothing against St. John Bosco, and Matt Dunn and I, their coach, went to college classes together. So he's a friend. But if we put Crean in, do we switch to an all Orange County league and just do six? Mm. Now it puts Bosco in a weird spot, LA, you know, but ultimately we have to accept them into Orange County. I guess I'm thinking really about the athletes, Santa Margarita and Jay Sarah, to get to a lower level sporting event, and basketball is a little better because we can start at night, but they got to go to a soccer game that starts at 3. They got an hour and a hour drive in traffic. Yeah. They go to Crean, it's 20 minutes. You know, it's something to consider. I don't know that we'll go that route, but I think it's something that we should consider if Crean's going to be coming into our league. I know Crean doesn't want to. I think they're hoping to get into with Irvine schools. I don't think that's going to happen. but we'll see. I mean, you know, frankly, when you do re-leaguing, it doesn't shock me. When we left the Empire League, I think a lot of people on our campus thought we might go Sunset or kind of a transition league. And that didn't happen, obviously. The other thing with seven I don't like is every Friday you're going to have someone with a bye. I don't love that. There's a few things about the seven. Let's say we leave Bosco in. Then do we look for an eight? Because then you can at least find a way to play on Fridays. You know, do we bring in Bishop Amat? I don't know what the next team would be. I don't know. Maybe you know better than I do. But is there another team that could come? Anyways, just if we're going to go to seven, seems weird to me from a basketball perspective.
Obviously, another discussion. The Irvine schools don't want Cree. Nobody wants Bosco. Nobody wants to face those programs, especially on the football side, right?
Bosco, again, L.A., I mean, that's where they are, right? They're in L.A. County. There's no way to slice that up.
So the only L.A. County team in the league is
Or in Orange County at all, right? I think I'm right about that. Is there any – unless you're one of those little small leagues, I think everyone's in the county. But it'll be interesting to see how this shakes out. Yeah. I mean, no question. And Crean – yeah, I think the football thing messed them up. They didn't want to go to eight-man football, and so they kind of got into a situation where they had to ask out. But, you know, who knows? We could get a little bit of a backfire.
Right. Closing moments here with head coach Chris Nordstrom out at Orange Lutheran High School. You passed the decade mark here at Lutheran, 13 years, uh-huh. I think, now here. A couple of graduating classes have come and gone. The chance to have kids come back now that you've seen go out into the world, go to college, become professionals, maybe even get married, start families at this point. Those are some of the most rewarding things to watch a young man leave here and come back a man.
Yeah, and if people ask me before the season, you know, what is successful, what is you're going to have a good year? Are you going to be successful this year? And I don't want this to sound, I don't know the right word for it, I don't try it. But if I get asked that question in the preseason, I always say, guys, I don't know. Because what really is going to matter is what you're just asking me. You know, where are these kids in 6, 8, 10, 12 years, right? I'm really lucky right now. I got two guys on our staff that have played for us. One of them might take my job eventually. Like, if I retire, he's a likely candidate to be the head coach here. He's really, really good. A great kid. He, every day as a senior, he kicked Gabe York's tail at practice. Every day. And Gabe took his minutes. But the senior made him get better. Anyway, so we've got, you know, and I've got two other guys that are graduates of our school. Didn't play for me, but went to Orange Lutheran working on our staff. So you get those kind of things, but then you also see what you're talking about. The guys who are moving up in the business world. I got one guy who's worked his way up at ESPN and then just switched over to Fox Sports, and he's got an online show. We got guys like Trenton Rush, who is a manager and a coach here, who've done things. You know, so we've got a lot of guys, and those things are – I love when those guys come back. We'll get pickup games in the gym sometimes, and these guys will come back. Okay. And that's as fun a day for me as a coach as winning a title. I love the, what are you guys doing? What's up? How are things? You know, so I love when they're back here. I think our, you know, my kids are so close to these boys as well. And they're, you know, when they see each other, it's those moments as well. It's just a really cool thing. And I think that's true of all of our campus, but certainly in basketball, I love that part of it. And we've had some great ones, and Gabe's text, you know, these guys will text me and do different, you know, we'll reach out to each other. And so it's really, that part of coaching is unbelievably rewarding to see what those kids have done.
Thank you for taking some time with us here on Catholic Sports View, and we're looking forward to watching the Lancers here in these next couple of years. This young team is going to get real good.
Yeah, it'll be fun, I hope. No problem.
I want to thank my guests this week, Steve Fryer from the Orange County Register and OCVarsity.com, and Chris Nordstrom, the head basketball coach at Orange Lutheran High School. I want to thank you for listening to Catholic Sports View, where athletics meets faith. If you want to catch this show or any of the other shows that we've done in the past, simply go to OCCatholic.com/radio, and all the shows are archived right there on the webpage. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next week right here on Catholic Sports View.